this afternoon, we will be studying one of two offices in a New Testament church. There are two offices in a New Testament church. They are bishop or pastor and deacon. And that's all the offices that the Lord set in the church, and that's all the offices that we ought to set in the church. The idea that he's left it open so that as the church grows and as time progresses, we can add offices as we need to, is an unscriptural absurdity that has affected many churches. Today we hear ministers of music, ministers of education, and ministers of a lot of other things that are mentioned. They're never explained as being extra-biblical offices. That is, offices that are literally outside the New Testament. We should not ordain anyone to any office other than the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon. Someone says, well, what about ordaining ministers of music? They shouldn't be ordained. There is no qualifications or characteristics listed in the New Testament that we can go by. Ministers of education, the same thing. If a man is called to preach and he desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And the idea that everyone who wants to do anything is just automatically called of God and therefore ought to be ordained is something that is not taught in the Word of God. We ought not to ordain anyone other than those that are God-called, that is, the bishop, and then deacons are not God-called. They are selected by the church. I don't mean that God doesn't honor them. I don't mean that God doesn't love them. But in Acts chapter 6, the apostle said to the church, "Look out among you," and gave three things to look for. So deacons are selected by the church congregation and then ordained to serve. Pastors are called by Almighty God, not according to their ability, not because they're wise, not because they are good speakers, not because they're good mixers. Oftentimes they aren't. But all of the preachers are called according to the purpose of God. Not according to what men would think, but according to what God desires. And he does it so that men will glory not in themselves, but in the power and wisdom of Almighty God. Now as we look at deacons, we're looking at men who are the servants of the churches. Paul has instructed Timothy in regard to the office of a bishop. In verse 2 it states, he must be blameless. He then lists the areas of one's life where he would be subject to criticism if he did possess or did not possess such characteristics. Paul now gives Timothy instruction concerning the office of a deacon. Likewise must the deacons. And you'll notice that in this particular verse, the word is plural. You'll notice in the first part of chapter 3, this is a true saying, if a man, singular, desire the office of a bishop, singular, he desireth the good work. A bishop, singular. But when we get to verse 8, likewise must the deacons, the word is plural. So we assume that it is enough for the church to have one pastor. I'm not saying you couldn't have more, but I am saying here it is singular. The bishop is singular, the deacons are plural. And the number of deacons is not stated here, though in Acts 6 chapter they did ordain 7, but they had a membership of several thousand. So we really cannot say the Bible says for every so many people you need one deacon. You can have several deacons, you can have two deacons, you could have five deacons, and it would not be unscriptural. We need deacons according to the work that is to be done. Likewise must the deacons, that is, by the same token, deacons in the same way. This means that the deacons are also to be blameless. However, it's not listed in the beginning, but it is in verse 10 where he states, let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So the qualification of a pastor is that he be blameless, that there not be anything in his life that can be used to bring reproach upon him and the churchy pastor. The deacons must also be blameless. And again, that doesn't mean sinless. It simply means that there's nothing so significantly wrong in their lives that people can constantly criticize them and the church and God himself because they represent the Lord. The two offices seen here in words is this. Bishop means overseer. The word deacon means a servant. The word bishop comes from a man that was sent by a conquering city to oversee another city that had been conquered. He was to see that they had water and food, they had clothing. He was to oversee the operation of that city getting back to normal and the people having necessary things. The word servant, diakonos, comes from a word that means to wait upon tables. Therefore, one who serves. So we see a difference in their task, certainly in the words that are used to name their office. The bishop is overseer. The deacons are servants. The deacons are not overseers, but servants. They are not to oversee the bishop. They are not to oversee the church. They are to serve as the bishop and the church direct them. Acts chapter 6. Verse 1 through 7. Peter said, ordain these men that we may set them over this work. And the reason the deacons were ordained in the church at Jerusalem was so the pastors could give themselves to prayer and to the study of the Word of God. Not just to meet a particular need in the sense that it did exist. The widows, some of them were being neglected through a perceived or literal prejudice and discrimination between the Hellenistic Jews and the Jewish Jews. But that was one of the problems they were to solve. But in solving that problem, they gave the pastors, and incidentally, these were the 12 apostles who'd studied under the feet of Jesus Christ, and if they needed to study and pray, how much more do we today who are without his direct instruction? Likewise, must the deacons be grave. Now, that doesn't mean without humor, but it means dignified, stately. It means that there is a reservation about them, that they can be serious about the things of God and about life itself. Not double-tongued, and it's just two-worded. That's the literal translation, two-worded, or two sayings, but it has in it the idea of saying one thing and doing another, or saying one thing and being another, or perhaps not even keeping the advice they give to others. So a deacon, his word ought to be good. That's literally what it means, that what he says, we've heard it over and over again, a man's word ought to be his bond, and that should be true of deacons. Not given to much wine, to turn one's mind to occupy oneself with, and it literally has in it the idea of addiction. Deacons should not be addicted to what? To substances, whether it's alcohol, whether it's any kind of chemical. Why? So their minds can be clear and they can think through the things that need to be done and the things that need to be accomplished. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Here again, the same statement is given to the bishop. But it has in it the idea of desiring an item or anything to the point of doing something dishonest to get it. You see something, you want it. It's going to take some time if you get it honestly. So you're going to take a shortcut, do something dishonest so you can get it immediately. That's being greedy of filthy lucre. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it is said they must be of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. So these were more open, more general than what Paul gives here. honest report. That's what he means by not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. These men were to have an honest reputation, or a reputation for honesty. They were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were to be filled with wisdom. So they are wise men who are filled with the Spirit of God, who have an honest report. Now here's something that I think is very important. We've generally thought that the pastor or bishop ought to know the Word of God very well, but that it wasn't really necessary for the deacons to know the Bible as well as the pastor. Now we know the bishop or the pastor, he must know the Word of God, but the deacons, well, they're sort of a step down, and this is not the way I think, and it's not the way the Bible teaches, but it's the way people have come to think over the years, that there's first of all the pastor. He ought to pray a lot. He ought to know the Word of God. He ought to be honest and good. Then the deacons, they ought to be better than just common folk who sit in the pew. Sort of a three-tiered circumstance. The bishop, the deacons, and the people, quote, ordinary. But that isn't the way it is. All of us are on the same level. Pastor, deacons, and people. The pastor ought to know the Word of God. And look at what Paul says about the deacons. Holding the mystery of the faith. And this word means to hold continually, literally to possess. The word mystery is a truth that men would not know unless God revealed it. So here in the latter part of this verse, and without controversy, great is the mystery. And this is what he's talking about. Godliness manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. This is the truths that we wouldn't have known unless God revealed it to us. So the deacons are to hold, that is continually, they are to know about the mystery of the faith. They are to know the doctrines, they are to know what they believe, they are to know what the church believes, and they are to hold these truths about the church and about the Word of God in a clean or clear conscience. A conscience is that other voice inside of us. It's that voice that witnesses to us and talks to us and quarrels with us when we do wrong and encourages us, yes, that's right, you're doing right. And it comes there as a result of our being children of God and as a result of our training in the Word of God. The word clean means free from anything that would pollute it. So deacons ought to hold the truth of God. They ought to know it and hold it without conscience reservation, without saying, well, I don't really believe that, but they ought to hold it in a conscience free from any mixture at all. That is, they ought to believe it wholeheartedly. They ought to believe it completely. Then in verse 10... And let these also first be proved. Paul says, let it be proved that men have this character. That is, they should have been around you long enough for you to know that these are honest men who are not greedy men, who are not covetous men, who are not addicted to substance, and they have a good conscience. That's necessary because clean conscience is in regard to the faith and in regard to your own lives is necessary because a person struggling with a guilty conscience seldom is ever able to do a job very well. Let these first be proved. Let them also be tested first. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Then let them get on with it. That's really what Paul is saying. When you find men like this, and they are installed by ordination as a deacon, then let them get on with it. Let them get to it, being without an obvious flaw. I think that the way we've generally looked at the deaconship here is scriptural. And that is, we have deacons. We expect them to take care of a lot of things, and we don't ask them to come and ask us every time they need to make some minor decision. These are good men. They've been tested. We have elected them, and they can be trusted. So we set them over things, and they can take care of the things they've been set over without constantly going to the church and asking for permission. Now, for instance, if there's someone in our congregation that's in need, our deacons can go to them and help them. They can use funds out of the treasury and help people who need help. That way, if they find someone in need on Monday, they can get them help on Monday without having to wait until Wednesday to ask permission from the church. Can we help brother and sister so-and-so? And can y'all vote us some money? They've never abused this, but many times there have been people in our congregation in need. Our deacons knew it. They went to them. They gave them money from the church treasury, and that's what they should have done. We had voted for them to do that. So if you ask deacons to do things, you ought not to tie their hands. You ought to loose them so they can get after it. And that's what Paul states here. Let the deacons, after they have been proven, then let them do it. And just like the pastor is affected by his family, deacons are affected by their families. Verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. There's as many qualifications here for the deacon's wife as there is for the deacon. When we say qualification, that is, there are many areas where blame can be lodged against the deacon in his wife as there are listed here against himself. The word grave means sincere or dignified. The word slanderers comes from diabolos, and it's a word that means someone who accuses falsely. It comes from the same word we get devil from. So it really means someone who, by their talking, falsely accuses people for whatever reason they may be involved in. Sober means temperate or abstinent, literally. Women who can be trusted. That's what the word faithful in all things, or the statement, means. Trustworthy women. So we could look at a man who would possess all of these attributes and characteristics. We could look at his wife and say, no, we can't ordain this man. So in one instance, we ordain a man and his wife. Not that we lay hands on the woman, but we do look at them as a family. And that's sort of a unique way of looking at things, but we do, and we must do that. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. They should be one wife husbands. They should be one wifers when they're young and one wifers when they're old. Anyone who's had a multiplicity of wives will have problems, whether it was the culture and the polygamy of that age, whether it's marriage and divorce in this age. It is simply one of the things that creates problems in families. Let them be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. Again, the same word ruler here is the same one we looked at for deacons, and it has in it the idea of managing their children and their households properly. There are some things here said of the deacon and the Lord that are not said of the bishop and the Lord. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree. It isn't said of bishops, but it is said of deacons. Because the deacon's job puts them in contact with people. It puts them in contact with the widows. It puts them in contact with those in need. It puts them in contact and in circumstances where they're literally the good guys. They're the people that are there when there is a serious problem, there to contribute to its solving, to its being solved. And therefore, this word of encouragement is given for they that have used the office of a deacon well. Having deaconed, it's just the same word with endings on it that means the deacons deaked. And they did a good job of it. What have they done? They have purchased. And that means to own, or rather to earn over and above. It's like double time or time and a half to save up a good degree. And that's sort of a strange word, degree. But it means steps is the basic meaning of it. But it's steps that lead up to a foundation. Like if you were going up steps and then there's a large foundation, and then on this foundation you'd see a large pillar that commemorated some event, something like in Trafalgar Square, something like the Washington Monument. You go up steps to it, there's the base, and then there's the monument. Here, Paul said that a deacon who deeks well will have earned by the things he does this foundation, so that for those who have served well as deacons, position themselves well before God and others. Position themselves well for what? For reward, for honor. And the second thing is great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The word boldness here means fearless speaking. I think what Paul is saying, that men who've done this, they position themselves to earn great reward from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they also earn boldness when they speak concerning the faith, that is the system of doctrine that's laid out in the Word of God. The right to speak confidently on matters of a Christian faith. It's not that the pastor says, brethren, this is what the Bible teaches and we need to stand by it. The pastor ought to say that. The bishop ought to say that. But the deacons ought to say with boldness, yes, that's what the Bible teaches. Yes, this is right. Surely that's the thing that we ought not to do. Surely this is the thing we ought to do. Deacons can speak confidently of the Word of God. They have a right and an obligation to know the Word of God, to hold it in a clean conscience and to say, no, we won't do it. Yes, we will do it. Based on what? Based on the Word of God. I don't like to think, because I think it gives a bad impression, I don't like to think of the church as being a business where the pastor is the president and chief executive officer, and the deacons are the board of directors, and the pastor is the chairman of the board of directors, so that they sit together, make decisions that affect the church, and then bring it to the church. I much rather think that the church thinks its own thoughts. Thinks its own thoughts, and is guided by the Spirit of God that dwells in it. And not just pastor, not just deacons, not just the congregation by itself as such, but congregation and deacons and pastors, guided by the Word of God, thinking and praying and being led. And as a church under the headship of Jesus, we make decisions together. Now, if the decisions that we make have to do with getting something done, then these men become the servants through which it gets done. They're neither unique in the sense of their character from other people. It just means to be effective. They have to be minus some things and plus some things. But more than anything else, they're the ones who get it done. I think that's a good definition of a deacon. A good man with a good wife and a good family who gets things done according to the direction of the Scriptures and the church. I can't think of a better definition than that.